And welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Not dressed nearly as nicely as you are, though. So, well, I guess I'm not doing as well as you are.
That's a rarity. Usually you are dressed much nicer than me. I'm a big, especially this time of year, big sweatpant hoodie guy.
Yeah?
Usually go to the gym after this, but not today.
You look pretty fancy.
Thank you.
I got to say.
I appreciate it. David, good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good, guys. You know, out here just vibing today.
Ooh, vibing. I like
it. Nice. It is Friday.
It is Friday.
That is very true. It is Friday.
Big sports weekend coming up. Got the AFC and NFC title games. We'll get into that a little bit today as well. As Joe Rexroad has grown to appreciate. We thought yesterday, you know, after Stillman bailed on us at 7 o'clock yesterday for his normal time, you know, maybe he wouldn't be back on this week, but he's coming on today, Friday at 7 o'clock. So, Joe, don't worry. Jared at 7 o'clock today, just for you.
Yeah, good, because I was absolutely just – I went off texting him yesterday as he did the – some guys just play, like Mahomes when they have a high ankle sprain. Some guys, they're just afraid to play, or whatever he said. Yeah. It just – this is not one to – this is just – it's so bad.
Well, I can't wait for 7 o'clock. Looking forward to
But do we even want to talk? It's not even worth it.
Oh,
I'm already mad.
Yep, it'll be worth it. I'm very much looking forward to it. Coming up at 7 o'clock today here on the program. We'll have Teron Davenport coming up at 8 for his weekly visit. Pigskin Pick'em at 8:30 for a competition that's gotten very tight. So we'll see what happens on that front as we get throughout the show here today. We begin with the Nashville Predators. And another win for the Nashville Predators last night as they take down the New Jersey Devils. The final game before the break for the Nashville Predators, and they get it done. They win 6-4, the final score last night. I would like to point out that Philip Forsberg scored last night to extend my lead in Preds Pick to Click. But, Joe, Tanner Jeannot scored too. So do you feel better about Kenny coming in, taking Tanner Jeannot with the first pick?
No, I mean, it feels like even more of a conspiracy. So he gets rewarded with a random Jeannot goal. For letting you get Forsberg. And Forsberg, you know, Forsberg, it's so funny because I was sitting next to Gentry Estes last night on press row, and right before Forsberg scored, I was like, have you noticed Forsberg at all tonight?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I haven't really. And then like 40 seconds later, he scored that goal.
Just ripped it.
Yeah, so very. And then Niederreiter had how many opportunities?
He did. You could have gone with Matt Duchene.
Yeah, of course. And then that happened too. And I decided not to go Matt Duchene, and Matt Duchene had a, you know, speed coming down the right side, gets his own rebound, classic, and it's just all not going well for me. Sorry.
6-4, the final score last night for the Predators. They win. So that is, number one, impressive win against a really good team. You know, New Jersey has been dominant all year long, and they've been really good on the road, too. So the Predators get the win. They put up 6 goals in the process of doing so. And that is 5 out of their past 6 games where they've come away with a win. So, you know, the dud in St. Louis last week, notwithstanding, they've been pretty good lately. And the results have followed. And it's funny how hockey works sometimes. I brought up yesterday on the show, you know, the teams that you're right there with.
Unbelievable.
Calgary, St. Louis, and Colorado. Colorado played the Ducks. Calgary played the Blackhawks. St. Louis played Arizona. And wouldn't you know it, Arizona, Chicago, and Anaheim all win last night against those 3 teams.
Just bizarre. And blew them out, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
5-1 in there.
5-1 by the Blackhawks against Calgary. The Arizona Coyotes shut out St. Louis 5-0. And the Ducks put up 5 on Colorado and 5-3.
Yeah, got an empty net goal late.
Yeah.
So you got 3 teams that are supposed to be tanking, screwing it up for the All-Star break. 3 teams that needed to win who apparently are just already on the All-Star break as they played their final game. And the Preds benefit.
They did.
And it was the Preds were fun last night. It was a fun game. It was one of those games where I don't think they got the best version of UC Soros. I would say there were a couple in that game that, you know, you expect them to – not that – I'm not talking like completely soft-serve goals, but like, you know, like you come to expect him to get him, and he doesn't, and they still win. And they need that.
Well, it's going to have to be that way. Like, yes, UC Soros is good enough where, you know, he can, on most nights, play really well and give you a chance and all that stuff. But when you're playing good teams, and they're going to play a lot of them coming down the stretch here in the playoffs, I mean, it's today's NHL. You're not going to be able to win a whole lot of games 2-1. So they're going to have to figure out how to win some of these games. And they did it last night. You know, Duchesne, Forsberg, back on the board. Tanner Jeannot, I know it was an empty netter, but, I mean, goals in consecutive games for him has got to have him feeling good. Cody Glass scores again last night, driving to the net. Cole Smith with his second goal of the season last
night. Get mad. Get angry. Get angry, Preds fans.
Which I didn't see quite as much reaction on the Twitterverse about last night as the first one. But good for Cole Smith, his second goal of the year. Granlund gets on the board. So a lot of guys that we've talked about that needed to play better have been playing better over the course of the past week or so. And, of course, one thing that continues to come up, Joe, is the meeting that they had after the St. Louis game, heading into the game against L.A. And you were there last night. Matt Duchesne was asked about this, was asked about the meeting that took place after the St. Louis game, and the Predators have won 3 games in a row ever since then. Here's what Matt Duchesne had to say following the 6-4 win last night for the Predators against the New Jersey Devils.
Sometimes you don't know what's going on, and it's hard to – everyone's kind of got their own version of maybe what's wrong. And, you know, I think we just got to the point of some things that we're a hair off with. And, you know, that St. Louis game looks like a blessing in disguise now because we were tired. We weren't feeling it mentally and came out laid an egg. And, you know, it kind of brought some things to the surface that probably had gone unnoticed, and we had won some games that maybe we shouldn't have. So, you know, it was good. It's been a turning point for us so far. But 3 games isn't, you know, the rest of the season.
So that was Matt Duchesne in the locker room last night after the 6-4 win for the Nashville Predators. Joe, you were there. What did you make of the comments from the Predators after the game last night to close things out before the All-Star break in the right way?
Yeah, well, right before that, so Yossi talked earlier in the locker room, and basically, I don't even remember the question, but I asked something at the meeting, and he was like, I think I might have said, you know, so what was actually said in this meeting, Roman? Yeah. And I think he was like, ask Johansson. I'm like, oh, ask Johansson, or ask Joey, as they call him. Because he basically was like, Joey is the one who really he said the important stuff in the meeting. So then I asked Duchesne, what did Joey say? And he was like, I'm not going to tell you what he said. And then he said that quote you heard. And then Hines talks always after the players, and he basically, so it turned into, you know, well, kind of an Inspector Clouseau moment, you know, like someone say, tell us what Joey said. He didn't talk after the game, but Hines also said, yes, he was the one who backed up by the leadership group, but he was the one who really kind of spoke from the heart. I'm assuming some of that was Johansson calling himself out. That'd be my assumption.
Yes.
You know, kind of taking blame, but it sounds like also there was some, you know, we need you to do ABC and you to do ABC, you know, some also uncomfortable calling out of people too. So, and who knows, maybe Matt Duchesne was on the other end of one of those, during this meeting, but,
it would be hard for me to imagine that he wasn't.
Yeah. So 3 good performances since then. I mean, these meetings, you're in sports long enough. And, man, do you hear about meetings.
Oh, you do.
Players onlys and closed door and whatever kind of meetings. And in a lot of cases, I feel like in a lot of cases there is like a short-term benefit. In some cases, I think that they do, I guess I've seen them, you know, kind of become a turning point for a team. I mean, I'm already kind of bracing for this meeting to be talked about like too much, which is probably already the case right now. But
I can't wait. I can already envision like the end of season press conference after they've like made the playoffs and lost to Dallas in 7 games in the first round. Like, well, that meeting, let me just tell you, it turned everything around.
We're going to run it back with that meeting. I'm trying to think of other press conferences of the season.
One of the questions in the press conference, would you consider having the meeting to start with next year? Just get in there and just have everybody call each other out.
Is there any thought of a competitively rebuilt meeting? For the Preds.
This is a perfect example, though, Joe, of why we have our pre-show meeting every day.
That's just, right.
If somebody needs to be called out, it's what we do.
It's very important. Actually, I think possibly next year we may see a banner like, best team meeting ever as they play Glorious. Yeah.
All right, I think we took that joke as far as we can take it now.
Let's
I think we nailed every part of it.
Absolutely batter it to smithereens. But, like, clearly they needed this, and you said it, and I agree with what you said very much, which is like, I mean, okay, let's talk about Johansson and Duchesne. I mean, those guys have been left unprotected by this team.
Yeah.
And then unclaimed by anyone else. And then they responded with really good season. So, I feel like everybody knows what they should be doing, and then they know if they're not performing, they are. But, you know what? Maybe sometimes when you get some guys in a room and you actually hear it from people pointedly, it makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing we can go on is the body of work that we've seen since then, and I think they played reasonably well against L.A. I mean, look, the L.A. game, they got up 2-0 48 seconds in, and you're like, oh, man, they're about to kill the Kings. And really, for about 45 minutes after that, they got outplayed.
It was not great
in the game, and then they had a great third period, and it was what it was. Winnipeg, I thought they played really well from start to finish. Last night, for the most part, I thought they played really well from start to finish. Like, those two games, to me, are a little bit different than the L.A. game, where I thought, for the most part, in the L.A. game, they didn't get a whole lot going. And then the third period, they did, and they broke through and won the game. I think the last two games in particular have been really good. So, I mean, that's the only thing we have to go on is the body of work that we've seen since the meeting. I asked the question last night. Some people have different opinions on it. I just threw the question out there, like, the break, now that you get it, I mean, you're going to have it at some point, but is the break coming at a bad time now that you've won five or six?
That was John Glennon's favorite question last night after the game. And, you know, it's like, probably, but you'll take the break. Yeah. The thing about last night, I mean, how many odd man rushes did they have last night? And they had a few, like more than you're used to seeing, you know? More just entering the zone with speed, which, of course, John Hines has talked about for a few weeks. But last night I thought you really saw it from them and, like, saw it paying off. They looked like a team that can generate offense.
Well, especially against that team that has a lot of speed. Like, New Jersey's fast. And to be able to look fast against them, I think it's good. That's what I've always talked about, though. Like, this idea that the Predators are just skating in quicksand out there, I've never bought. It's about your ability to make a decision with the puck and execute it. And when you do that, it's amazing how much faster you look out there when you play the game the right way.
And a guy who looks fast in general, faster, is Cody Glass to me. I mean, yeah, I just really like the way he's playing.
No question about it. So a big win for the Predators last night. They closed things out before the All-Star break, winning five of their past six games. And now the break has come. They'll be back at it coming up on February the 7th against Vegas. What do you make of what we've seen from the Predators to this point? And how much does this recent streak influence the way you think about what they can be as they move forward here? We'll continue that conversation coming up next, 615-737-1025. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yes, FanDuel, which is America's number one sportsbook. And if you've been watching these NFL playoffs on the sidelines, you can get in the game now because new customers bet Sunday's conference championships games with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. And all you have to do is sign up with promo code Joe102. Now on FanDuel, you can do your traditional bets, bet on a game with the money line or the point spread, bet on a player prop. You can combine them for a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Let's see. If I was looking at Eagles-Niners, I'm not excited about both of these games. Eagles-Niners, I like the Eagles. I like A.J. Brown to get in the end zone with an anytime touchdown. And I'm also on the under on this game. I think this is going to be a tightly played kind of defensive game. Do whatever you want. Do it on an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. Don't miss out. Place that $5 bet. Get $150 in free bets. Win or lose with promo code Joe102. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online room money wager only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is now withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Talking Preds. Preds win last night 6-4 against the New Jersey Devils. They've won 5 out of 6 heading into the All-Star break for them. And, Joe, if you look at the standings, especially when you factor in the three teams that won last night that we did not think were going to win, Predators are 1 point out of a playoff spot as they enter into the break now. So 1 point back of the Colorado Avalanche in the Central Division. Minnesota gets a win. So that was a big win for Minnesota last night in overtime. They jump back into the third spot in the Central Division. But Minnesota at 56 points, Colorado at 55 points, Calgary's at 55 points below the playoff line now with their loss last night. So the Predators right there in the mix with those teams. And, you know, obviously you win 5 out of 6, you're going to put yourself in a better spot. Preds 1 point out heading into the All-Star break now, with them kind of on the break on the bye week that the players have negotiated in over the course of the next couple weeks. Now the standings will change as they move forward here. You've got games on Friday, games on Saturday, and then next week a little bit less so. It's the bye week that some teams have, and then the All-Star break officially is next weekend. So the standings are going to change as they look ahead here. Some teams will have their bye week coming up. Some teams will be a little bit later. But right now, Predators, especially when you consider where they were about 2.5-3 weeks ago, in a decent spot heading into this part of their break.
Yeah, look, I mean, it looks better. You probably at some point need a real hot streak. What's the hottest streak they've had this year? Like, have they won like 6 of 7 or anything like that? They're going to need one of those. I think they had one pretty good
one. They did, but the thing is, they've had now a couple of those where they've gone on a good streak. The problem is, the first couple of times, they followed it up with a streak where they've lost 5 of 6 or whatever it be. That's what you can't have anymore.
Right.
Like, you've used up your ability to lose 5 out of 8 games, 5 out of 7 games as you move down the stretch here. They've done that a couple too many times already.
Yeah, and consistency is something it's a word everybody uses in sports, and really nobody attains. Even like the greatest teams have streaks,
right?
You know, but they've got to be as consistent as possible. I think they have to have one of those hot streaks, but like, yeah, you can't have the streaks both ways. You know, you got to win 3 out of 5, basically. I mean, what do you need? Let's see. They are sitting there 54 points. So again, if you go by is 98 points kind of the agreed upon rule?
That's
like you're
going
to get in with 98.
Yeah, most time.
So you need 44 points in 34 games.
Yeah. It's not easy.
Right.
Not an easy thing to do.
You know, it's not easy, but the schedule is tough. At least the schedule is like you're playing the right people. I mean, you're playing the people that you need to, you know, you're trying to get in the playoffs instead of them. Well, beat them then. I mean, at least, you know, like and the schedule is very direct for the rest of the way for them. Lots of Western Conference teams that they're competing with.
Yep, and, you know, when you come back immediately, I mean, you've got Vegas, who's obviously a Western Conference team, and then it's Philly, Arizona, Boston, Florida, some Eastern Conference teams, and, you know, one Western Conference team thrown in there. But to your point, once you get into kind of the second half of February, and then especially into March, you got a lot of Western Conference games, lots of divisional games coming up. I mean, looking at the schedule for March, they're playing basically every other day. And that's another part of this is Saros is playing great.
Rest up.
But need to rest up, and they're going to have to use Lankin in some on non-back-to-back stretches coming down the stretch too.
Yeah, and if you said that going in the season, you know, you might be like, oh boy. But at this point, it's like, yeah, that should be just fine.
Well, the question that I have beyond the goaltending, because, look, I think I've seen enough. I've certainly seen enough from UC Saros to know he's going to be fine. I think I've seen enough from Lankinen to know that he's going to be good enough this year. Like, you can start him without totally just having fear that you're going to give up 9 like you did a year ago with Big Save Dave in there. So I understand that. But the big question I have is this recent stretch over the course of the past week, has this been a wake-up call for Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson and Mikael Granlund, to a much lesser extent in my mind, Philip Forsberg? Like, people are talking about Forsberg, and I get it. He needs to be more consistent than he's been. He's still on pace to end up with like 70 points. So it's not like he's been some tire fire out there. But with those three guys specifically, Duchene, Johansson, Granlund, has the past week been a wake-up call? Or has it been kind of a blip on the radar, and then when they come back from the break, it'll be more what it's been all year long?
Yeah.
That's going to determine what they do this season.
Yeah, it's a great question. Again, that's where whatever was said in the meeting, trying to get a transcript, I'll let you know if we get it. We'll read the whole thing.
Yes.
But it seems like there's some cause and effect here with that. And then, again, why necessary? But whatever. So you know what? This is like you say that, and then it's like, why do coaches why does Vrabel and like Kevin Byer are constantly finding disrespect? You know,
right?
Like you have to play at a high level. You have to find an edge, and clearly there was some edge missing with this team and some of those guys in particular. And all of them, those three guys, have all been really good this week.
And then the other question, because I think what I just said is going to be the determining factor as to whether or not they make the playoffs, which is can those three guys, Granlund, Johansson, Duchesne, can they keep it up? Can they play the way they've played the last week and a half? If they can, they're going to give themselves, a decent shot to make the playoffs. Beyond that, you've got Cody Glass that continues to score. Juuso Parsonen continues to play well. Like those guys, and specifically Glass, if he's going to play with Forsberg and Duchesne, can he keep it up? Like, can he handle – like, it's one thing to be in a top six role and handle it well. It's another thing as you get down the final part of the season when it starts to become a little bit more like, quote-unquote, playoff hockey, and it's physical, and it's hard to generate a lot of room out there. Can he handle that part of it going up against other top lines physically? I mean, we're going to find out. I mean, I think I've been impressed with the way he's been able to do it to this point. It does get a little different once you get to March and April, and I'm interested to see if he can handle that moving forward.
Yeah, I imagine. I mean, look at the role that he has, you know, kind of gradually earned. I mean, how important is he to their fortunes now? Awfully important. Also, you forgot to ask if Philip Tomasino's coming up.
Well, there's that too.
Did you notice
that Poile, like, last week was like, yeah, I mean, he's going to be up at some point. And then this week was like, we hope so. We hope he's going to be up at some point.
So, I mean, part of the answer is they need to have a clear need in the top six.
Right? Which could be
good
or bad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they do, it's like, okay, finally, I don't know, who the heck would it be? This person's out of there. Now, I would argue, another person with skill in the lineup anywhere would be okay, but I don't know.
I mean, Juuso Parsonen's not in the top six right now. You can't tell me that Parsonen and Tomasino couldn't do some stuff together. I think they could.
That's an intriguing thought.
Just saying.
Maybe he's the trading deadline acquisition.
Maybe.
But the internal acquisition.
To that point, I mean, I said, you know, March 3rd feels like forever away. Well, now they're not going to play for 2 weeks, and by the time they pick it back up, it's February the 7th, and you're less than a month away from the trade deadline. So the decisions on that front are going to have to start to be made pretty quickly by David Poile and the Nashville Predators. 615-737-1025. Preds, big win last night heading into the All-Star break. They've won five of their past six games, and we'll see if they can pick it up after the break is over with. Predators going to get a few days off here to rest up and recover heading down the stretch. Also, kind of times up well from this standpoint, Joe. They announced yesterday Alex Carrier out 4 to 6 weeks with an injury. So at least about a week and a half of that will be chopped into when you're not having to play games. So it helps from that standpoint. Coming up next, a coaching hire has been made in the National Football League. And I will admit, made me raise my eyebrows a little bit yesterday. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. The best and worst things in sports at 645. So go ahead and get those submissions in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, the first coaching domino to fall at the head coaching position in the National Football League yesterday with the openings has been made. The Carolina Panthers have hired Frank Reich as their next head coach. Frank Reich was the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers in their first game back in 1995 and is now their next head coach. A four-year deal that has been reported, expected to be finalized on Monday. Got to say, I didn't know that Frank Reich was on my bingo card to get another head coaching job this offseason. But he did, and now he's the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Your reaction?
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that either. If I had to guess, I would have said, you know, he's going to have to go be someone's OC, you know. But I think Frank Reich, I'm sure he comes across well. you know, in an interview. He's a very likable guy, smart guy. I mean, I still think Frank Reich is a good coach. I think that we saw – I think some of what happened in Indy goes on him. You know, you can't just completely absolve him of blame. You know, some of the – well, Jonathan Taylor had 9 carries today, huh? That's interesting. Some of that stuff, I think you have to look at him and be like, come on, maybe you're outthinking yourself. But
yeah.
I'm not surprised he's a head coach again. You know, of course, you know, Steve Wilks had done awfully well. I know there's a lot of internal support for Steve Wilks, who, of course, got totally hosed in Arizona so they could go hire Cliff Kingsbury after 1 year of Steve Wilks. And then Steve Wilks did really good stuff with the Panthers. You know, at the end of last season, I watched some of the wonderful Detroit Lions playing the Panthers, and they ran for like 800 yards, and I'm like, wow. Pretty. I mean, Cam was like, hey, you kicked our butt. Yeah, good job, buddy.
It's a great midfield meeting from Dan Campbell there.
Yeah, so it's disappointing for Steve Wilks. It is a little bit surprising for Frank Reich. I had no idea what you just said, by the way. I totally forgot that he was their first starting quarterback. Wow. Yeah.
Well, that was all the rage on the Twitterverse yesterday. Like, that has anything to do with what he's about to go try to do. But, yeah, I guess it's a cool little factoid.
He might need to quarterback him next year,
It is kind of amazing. Like, we talked yesterday what's going on with the Colts and Jim Irsay and the coaching hire, Jeff Saturday, all that stuff. And now Frank Reich has gone and got another job. Can you imagine what the reaction in Indianapolis will be if, like, Frank Reich goes on to have – success with the Panthers and the Colts just turned into a tire fire with, I guess, Jeff Saturday as their coach if Jim Irsay gets his way.
Man, oh boy, I tell you, it's amazing how the view of that franchise has changed. Speaking of things on Twitter, learning yesterday, someone put a side to side picture of Frank Reich and Jim Irsay.
Yeah, I saw that.
Frank Reich is 2 years younger than Jim Irsay.
Yeah, can't tell by the picture.
That's.
I think I would describe it as a hard life lived by Jim Irsay.
Yeah, there's a little bit of difference in sort of health choices.
Just a little bit.
I'd say between the two. Yeah, it's actually a good cautionary tale.
Frank Reich doesn't probably spend his time with as many guitars as Jim Irsay.
That's
does.
True. He hasn't had as much fun. No, I mean, I was actually shocked. Like, Jim Irsay is 63. I mean, I honestly would have guessed like he's like 75.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Good for him, though.
All right.
It's full of energy, man.
I mean, it doesn't stop him from tweeting it before he boards his private plane with videos. So, but Frank Reich. I don't know. Carolina fans excited about that? I mean, that's one of those things that like a fan base. Is a fan base excited about that after the Colts' tenure?
I think it's one of those things where eventually you talk yourself into being excited about it. Like,
yeah.
It's one of those things, too, where, you know, right now maybe the immediate reaction is, oh, man. Really? Frank Reich? Like, I saw a headline on SB Nation. It says, Frank Reich is a safe, boring, mediocre hire by the Panthers, was the headline yesterday. So, I don't know that Panthers fans are overly excited about it. I think by the time the season comes around, especially, you know, depending on what happens in the draft and do they find a quarterback, all these different things, that they'll talk themselves into it.
Yeah. That's
typically how that goes.
Yeah. This is also another... You know, I mean, there's a lot of aspects of this hire, but it's like it's more and more, I would say, I guess, rare. I don't know what the total tally is right now, but if you're an offensive coach, if you have an offensive background in the NFL right now, you have a much better chance of getting a job than if you're a defensive coach.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question
about
it.
I know, Brandon Staley still holding on for dear life out there in LA, sorry. But
close enough.
It's heading that way, man.
Your boy Nathaniel Hackett hired yesterday to be the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets. We'll get a little bit deeper into this later in the show, but the coaches starting to be on the move. List starting to fill up out there in the NFL.
I'm going to go Kaharski here.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So here's what I would just ask of NFL media, okay?
Okay.
What I would ask is, like anybody who, I mean, certainly I've been in this business a long time, like people know what goes on and what happens for people who want to be newsbreakers, right? Who want to get into that realm and to the point where it's like, hey, will you give me information on a regular basis so I can compete, you know, with Schefter, who, as we know, is just a miserable ass kiss and just completely not an ethical journalist. Here's, let me read Tom Pelissero's tweet about Nathaniel Hackett.
Okay.
The Jets are hiring former Broncos coach Nathaniel Hackett, their OC, per sources. Hackett previously called plays in Buffalo and Jacksonville, where he worked with Robert Saleh and was widely revered during his tenure as Green Bay's OC. A big hire. There are other tweets of this effect yesterday, and it's just like,
widely revered.
Are we not gonna talk about what happened in Denver? Because I'm also seeing some stuff, well, it had nothing to do with him. It's all dysfunctional there, and, you know, and blame ownership and front office and Russ and whatever. Nothing to do with Hackett. Hide it a little bit, you know, like that you feel like basically you're
compelled
in this transactional relationship where you have to just fluff someone who just got fired in 1 year.
Less than a year.
Was very bad.
Less than a year.
But hey, you're a Hackett guy. I mean, Hackett, I don't think this necessarily, like Hackett's tenure in Denver also, in all fairness, like I don't think it means he's a bad OC now, right? I mean, he has been a successful OC.
I mean.
You guess, I guess.
He's been a successful OC. Like in Green Bay, he didn't call plays.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Aaron Rodgers likes him. I mean, I don't know. He likes him.
He does like him. I can confirm that. But, yeah. I mean, look. I mean, the Jets filling their role at offensive coordinator. We saw yesterday that it was reported that the Chargers had completed their interview with Luke Steckel here with the Titans. So the offensive coordinator pool starting to move along here in the NFL.
Is Vrabel now going to interview him too?
I don't know.
Has he already?
Well, we've not heard really any ever since.
That's the thing. If you heard that he went out there and interviewed, then I think we would have heard that he interviewed here, right?
I would think
that's
so.
What agents
but
do.
We've not heard really anything regarding a Titans offensive coordinator interview in a while. Like, it's been, I think, since the report that they had interviewed Tim Kelly. It's like, okay, cool.
Maybe Vrabel is interviewing these people, and then he's found some way to do, like, the Men in Black mind erasing.
Just wipes
so
it.
So they don't tell their agents, so the agents don't tell the media. I don't know.
Typically,
you're going to hear – you're not going to hear all of them. That does happen. Like there are some interviews, although it's less and less, I think, that slip through the cracks. But typically, you're going to hear about most of them because agents want that out there.
Well, maybe Vrabel was like, you know, if this gets out to the media, you're immediately disqualified from consideration for my offensive coordinator job.
Or just like, I'll beat you up.
Yeah.
I mean, the intimidation factor can work for him.
Maybe so. Jared from Spring Hill on the text line says, Joe, great take on Schefty. Fireball hot take Friday. This is from Jared from Spring Hill on the text line.
So is that Jared Stillman then?
It may be Jared Stillman. I don't think Jared Stillman lives in Spring Hill, but.
But that's how he's trying to throw us off the scent.
He's trying to throw us
off. Nah, from Spring Hill. Sure. I've been there before. Thank you, Jared, whichever Jared you are.
We've discussed Schefter on the show before.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah, I don't have. I can't even do it today.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your submissions on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We want your participation. Let us know your best and worst things in the world of sports. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your submissions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, kick us off this week, as you do every week, with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
You know, we're of like mind on a possible, on a good contender for worse, a very recent entry.
We are.
You're going to go with that one, which I actually looking forward to. I'm going to do my, duality of humanity.
Okay.
Like the same thing as the best and the worst sort of
thing.
Okay. So the best thing to me.
My favorite thing you do.
I'm going to go. It did not go his way. It did not go their way. And it's too bad. And it's too bad, too, because I picked him to win it all. But I'm still going to go with DeMar Hamlin being at the Buffalo Bills game and being in the box and cheering on his team and a reminder that, you know, he's alive and well.
Confirmed that it was actually him.
I guess. I don't know.
I can tell it was him.
Because my worst thing is that, like, it's like, you know, he needs to do a video to prove that was him. And I was like, why? So that then you can say, look, that mole was not on his neck before. He died. He died. Just the internet.
You know, I was unaware of all this stuff until you said it the other day. And I was like, oh. Then I went down that rabbit hole.
Oh, that's quite a rabbit hole. So, you know, we can't have something good without, like, that crap somehow getting into it. So that's my best and my worst.
Very nicely done. David James, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
My best thing in the world of sports is the NTSU Lady Raiders. They are number 23 in the top 25.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing, that program. It's been one of the best programs in college basketball, at least in my opinion. I mean, 20 win seasons for the last, what, decade or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
It's impressive. And the worst thing in sports is it's NBA fans who, I don't know how to describe it. Like, they attack the fun in basketball. If you talk too much, then, like, they always attack you and say, bro, like, what if you haven't won anything yet? And it's always something, like, whenever I hear that, it's just like, bro, let us have fun. It's a fun game. Obviously, this is mainly just the Grizzlies thing. It's just like, that's the worst in sports. It's just NBA fans who like to act like that the fan base cannot have fun and talk smack.
Where's your rings, man? Where's your rings?
Where's your rings?
Hey, where's the rings, guys? Come on.
Brian was getting all over the Grizzlies the other day.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't even start on that one.
He was like, I guess they were talking to him. And there's like LeBron got mic'd up. He was mad.
Yeah,
he was mad.
He did not like
Memphis
it.
Grizzlies.
The old man. Old man.
Don't get LeBron and Sterling Sharp mad. I tell you what.
No, not at all.
First off, Shannon Sharp, not Sterling Sharp.
Oh, crap. Yeah.
Let's not get after the Green Bay Packers later.
I apologize
for misbehaving.
By the way, I'm going to throw, you know what? Real quick, another best. I thought that Shannon Sharp's apology was really good.
Oh, it was.
He was very, like, actually an apology.
But he did get interrupted. Like,
if you're offended, I am sorry. No.
Yeah, he
took responsibility. Good for him.
Well, and if he didn't get interrupted by Skip, it was amazing.
Exactly.
Like, wow, he got through the whole thing. Jeez.
What a shocker.
Way to go. All right, my best thing in sports, I know I just kind of talk crap about him, but it is LeBron James. Watching what he's doing at the age of 38, he is about to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the NBA's all-time scoring lead. He's 38 years old. He's been playing in the league since he was 18 years old. And let's take a look at his last three games. 37 points against the Trailblazers, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. 2 days ago against the Clippers, 46 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. And then on the second half of a back-to-back against the Spurs, 20 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. So almost a triple-double. I mean, the dude's 38, and he still is a top-five player in the NBA. It's pretty unbelievable.
I think he's the best player ever.
I would agree with that.
He might be. We're going to get a whole lot of Jordan people yelling at us. I knew you would think that.
Nah.
Just because you think Jordan's not in the top 10.
Oh, yeah. Jordan and Brady. Overrated.
Overrated. Chris Road can't stand Brady or Jordan. But, the dude's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I mean, it is amazing. I mean, basically, it's like, you know, his finals record, what people throw. But, like, at this age, doing what he's doing.
We've never seen anything like it.
I mean, 10 straight final appearances is unheard of sometimes.
Well,
some of them were teams that he absolutely dragged there. And Jordan mm-hmm. did not. Jordan had a guy with him who was an all-time great player, whether people want to acknowledge it or not.
Mm, yeah. So we
would agree.
I thought about this the other day when I was watching him play. I was like, if he wanted to, he won't do this. Like, he's not going to eventually be like some role player coming off the bench, I don't think. But how long could he play in the NBA if he wanted to? That's what I was thinking. Like, not necessarily being a starter, not necessarily at the level he's at right now, but like, just how long could he be an NBA level player if he really wanted to?
So I'm trying to think. So when Jordan was with Washington, let's say, how old would he have been? He probably was about this age.
He was about 38.
But so that's like, that's the thing that, and that's kind of what it was. It was kind of like, I mean, he still scored, but he was kind of transitioning into like kind of a more of a, you know, a good player, but not a great player. And he got out.
Yeah.
LeBron's at that age now and still one of the top guys in the league. I mean,
it's pretty unbelievable.
That's a check on LeBron's side.
Check on LeBron's side. All right, my worst thing in sports, Gino Auriemma. That guy drives me nuts. I don't know if the clip made the rounds last night on social media. You just played it during the break of his interview with Holly Rowe last night when Tennessee and UConn were playing, and he's just yelling about officiating and complaining and just looks like an absolute jerk out there. And look, there is no denying that that guy is a great coach. I mean, obviously, Gino Auriemma is a great coach. UConn women's basketball has been the top program in women's basketball for a good while now. But the guy is just so unlikable. I mean, it's unbelievable how unlikable that guy is. So Gino Auriemma yelling about everything, my worst thing in sports. We've talked about Auriemma on this show before and some of the Candace Parker situations that we've discussed. But, man, I can't stand that guy. Cannot stand it.
It was. Hold on. Let's try this.
Are you going to try this again?
This is really good. And blah, 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 blah.
And he's just
and then
yelling.
This is what happens when you come down here. Like, this is like, you know, like, I mean, what does that even mean? First of all, he never comes down there. And then he storms away from poor Holly Rowe. Holly Rowe's just like, okay.
You know, okay,
trying to ask
coach,
a question. Just storms away from her. Nah, he's.
Thanks, coach.
He's a great coach. But no. We've talked about, we don't have time at all to get into the Candace Parker thing again. But it was absolutely absurd. And he tried to say it was this committee that didn't pick her for the team in 2016 when it was damn sure him. It is embarrassing.
I'm so baffled by that.
Yep.
And that team was going to win the gold. I mean, they were dominant. But you had two people that the whole world wanted to watch. Diana Taurasi.
Yep.
And Candace Parker.
Yep.
Santa in Portland on the text line says the best in sports ran Carthon. Worst is how Bethune-Cookman treated Ed Reed. Have you seen the Bethune-Cookman Ed Reed stuff?
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know.
That's
weird. Very weird. William from Madison on the text line says the best thing in sports is Chip Carey leaving the Braves booth for the Cardinals. I don't have to listen to him anymore. This is from William from Madison on the text line. Some Chip Carey hate on the text line.
That's interesting. I feel like I've seen a lot of that this week from Braves fans who are excited about this.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just like the carries, man. Don't you want a carry calling your games?
You would think so.
Yeah.
I got a text that says, the best of the week, the Preds deciding to give fans some hope. The worst of the week, Tanner Janot's puck handling, sweet Lord. I mean, we're picking the week. He scores two goals to make him the worst in sports. What are we doing here?
Man.
Come on, guy. Come on.
Good gracious.
That's so much LeBron hate, too. LD, like PEDs are a powerful thing. We should start seeing older age athletes continue to excel moving forward. Well, first of all, LD, PEDs been around a little bit. They didn't just, like, pop up out of nowhere in the last 10 years.
Yep.
Also, I think the older age athletes, some of that is also good choices, not PED choices.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Brady, I don't think, you know, Tom Brady may have all sorts of HGH in his vein, whatever, but he also is, you know, according to him, sleeping 14 hours with cucumbers on his eyes and
apparently
he eats the cucumbers for breakfast.
Apparently
that's all
he lost
he eats
15
all day.
Pounds this year.
Yeah, which isn't good, actually.
No.
When he's the Titans quarterback, he needs to
get back
up
225.
Yeah, is that not the best thing in sports that Jared is convinced that Tom Brady's going to be the quarterback of the Titans next year?
Well, I'm looking forward to that conversation coming up here in just a few minutes. Jared from Spring Hill on the text line says the worst is Western Kentucky basketball. The best is Steph Curry getting ejected for throwing his pacifier.
We're going to get some Steph Curry hate
on the text line. I enjoyed that.
Lay off my guy Steph Curry.
That was pretty good stuff there. Bryant from Memphis on the text line says the weird drama between Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy could qualify as the worst in sports. It's interesting. Rory McIlroy and Patrick Reed were on the tee box this week. Patrick Reed goes in to shake his hand. Rory has no time for it. Patrick Reed then throws a golf tee at him and walks off. Some golf drama, Joe. Your thoughts?
I missed that, but it sounds like quite a, you know, I challenge you to a duel, sir. You know, Lance says Gino sounds like my ex-wife. We don't have time to unpack that one, Lance.
We don't. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on Tom Brady to the Titans. We'll get his thoughts on another victory over Joe Rexroad in Jared versus Joe as
another.
Well. I mean, it is another victory for Jared Stillman over Joe Rexroad. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.